Hello, everyone. This is Glenda. And today, it's the last day of May, just right on the edge of summer. I know we usually, in the United States, we think of Memorial Day as the beginning of summer, and technically it's not here yet, not until the 21st of June. But the 1st of June usually brings summer temperatures all over the United States to all of us, and most certainly we've been having that here despite the heavy rain. And I do want to send a special blessing to all of my fellow citizens in Texas and the middle states of the United States that have been suffering so terribly from flooding. We have lost over 30 people to floods, and all of them are a tragedy. Some of them just strike our hearts a little more deeply than others, but it's all just a really deep, deep tragedy, and our hearts go out to them. So we do want to remember them and their families and all of those who are contributing to the work of recovery and salvage and building back from the damage of the tornadoes and the heavy thunderstorms and all these other wondrous acts of nature that happen no matter how we're living our life. And I do want to take just a moment to praise the wondrous acts of nature. So often we think of the weather as something that we don't like, except for the few times when we get sunny days and fair winds, and we thank God for that. But the fact is, it's all good. It's all part of the wonderful network of nature taking care of itself. Our problem is that we haven't built our lives around the respect of its wondrous work in all cases. We have taken risks and chances that possibly we should not have taken. And so when that doesn't result in something good, that's a time for us to bond together in community and help one another and help us understand that someone is here who cares. God always cares. And we'll remember and love nature even though sometimes we do suffer from these events. We still love her and marvel at her wondrous works. One of the things we do in the blessing is we connect with our Mother Earth and the whole realm of nature. And I think that's so important for us to cure out any thoughts we have that nature is dangerous or better to live in a more artificial world, better to live in concrete and steel and behind double pane glass and in air conditioned and heating and heated interiors and so forth. We build cocoons around ourselves. And these cocoons protect us from the unwanted development in nature, but they also separate us from the powerful energies of nature. And I just want to remind you that were it not for the Earth being essentially magnetic, we would not have lightning ever strike the Earth. Lightning is first generated by the magnetic field of the Earth, and only then does the electricity being created in the clouds connect with the Earth. And you might say, well, but Glenda, couldn't we just suspend the magnetism of the Earth? And no, we can't. That's part of the gravitational field that keeps us in our orbit with the sun and with the cosmos. It's the gravitational field that moves the tides, that keeps the moon in orbit with us. The magnetism of our beautiful planet Earth is also what attracts every form of energy that creates life. The flora and fauna of the Earth, the animals and the plants, but every other form of life. It also is the magnetic field that supplies the energy of our consciousness and the refreshing, healing depth of our sleep. So we have much to appreciate in this beautiful magnetic field that is our Mother Earth, the womb in which we were born. And as we conduct blessing, one of the parts of the blessing is to connect with this earth, bare feet on the ground, preferably in season when you can do it outside, actually on the ground. If you can't do that, just remove the, remove the rubber sole shoe. It's not really rubber. Actually, it would be better if it were rubber. But the petroleum synthetic based shoes that we all wear today for their cushioning effect on our feet. But as they cushion our feet, they also intercept our connection with the earth. Sometime when you just feel like it, try wearing some leather sole shoes. You might think, well, those aren't going to cushion my feet like these nice cushioned Adidas or Nike Air Sole shoes. You might be surprised at the end of the day how much better your feet actually feel than they do in these memory foam cushioned high-tech shoes that are supposed to give added support and comfort. But the fact is, your foot knows exactly how to create energy for your body. The problem is, it's not gaining access to the energetic field of the planet. And I'd like to kind of carry that thought a little further into the foundations we build for our life. So many times we start something, we start a project, we come up with a good idea, and we get a lot of positive reinforcement from our family, friends, or maybe even surveys we take for our public. Seems like an awfully good idea in the career field or whatever other area we're moving into. We get it started, and then it just nosedives. Doesn't take off, doesn't fly. Well, you know, this is one of the things that we are missing so deeply in today's world. With our high-tech environment, we can use technology to scan and survey the potential for markets or the potential need for people in service industries to deliver service, and we want to move into those areas very quickly. We want to be able to take a little bit of an investment and turn it very quickly. Well, in the past, that's not how our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents worked. They actually created their lives and their businesses from the ground up and often inherited from three generations before them. The foundation was everything. It was everything for them. And you might say to me back in reply, well, but Glenda, in those days, nothing ever changed. It was all, you know, one generation to the next people did the same thing. Well, that's not entirely true. Actually, we had a profound amount of change in this country from the late 1700s all through the 1800s with the Industrial Revolution, with every wave of immigrants coming through this land, with the development of the railroad, to the development of the telegraph and the telephone and electricity and the electric light, that is, and the changes were phenomenal. But one thing people did not lose connection with, and that is you build from the foundation up. Now, Yeshua talked about this 2,000 years ago. And he's reminded me about this. Every time I've become impatient about something, he would say, have you looked at your foundation lately, Glenda? Have you looked at the foundation on which you're placing this? 2,000 years ago, he told people, don't build your house on a foundation of sand. It could wash away. Build it on a rock where it will stand under all the pressures of weather, under all the tides and coming changes of the world. It's on a rock. We do plant it on a rock. When he would use agriculture as a metaphor or an analogy for growing your family, your industry, your ideas, he would talk about the farmer who would sow seeds. And he would say, well, the seeds are all good, but you're going to cast some of them on fertile soil, and some of them will land where the birds will peck them. Some of them will land on rocky soil. What was he talking about again? The foundation. Some of them will connect with an appropriate and supportive foundation. Without that context, without that foundation, they won't grow. We think all it takes is getting a good idea. All it takes is being turned on about something, and we go out, and then we get just as quickly disappointed because we throw our seeds out to the world and we find we hadn't even thought about the soil on which they were going to land. We hadn't picked out a good foundation or an appropriate fertile context for what we're doing. We become disappointed. It's an interesting thing that Yeshua studied the apostles and their character and their lives, and he gave them each unique emphasis in his teaching according to who they were and how they were. For example, John, we don't know much about the life of John, but we do know he was a cousin, and we know that he was close to Mother Mary, and we know that Yeshua referred to him as the Beloved, and he gave him to be the son of his mother as he was passing out of this physical world. So we know that he focused upon John, the teachings of love. Just read the book of John if you want to read the more loving side of Yeshua's teaching. Now, an interesting thing about Peter was, well, he was very feisty. He had a lot of, let's say, aggression, fight. Actually, Yeshua once told Peter, when Peter started to draw his sword, he said, now, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. He told him to withdraw that sword. But he also understood the deep strength in Peter, that he could feel like fighting. He saw the depth of his strength. Now, he told Peter that he would deny him 3 times, which he did. That prophecy was true. And I think that's partly not because Peter was a coward. I think it's because Peter was in a situation right there after the crucifixion where he literally couldn't fight. And fighting was Peter's nature. Peter had not yet overcome this tendency to pull his sword and fight. And without the sword, without his fighting temperament, he literally didn't know what to do, but he held strong. He wasn't really betraying Christ. He was simply denying his knowledge of him because he didn't know yet what to do with it. But Peter had this inner strength that was so great. Yeshua renamed him. Actually, he was Saul. He was he didn't start out as Peter. He was Simon, and the fisherman. And Yeshua renamed him Peter because Peter means the rock. So he saw in Peter the foundation of his character. The foundation. We're getting back again to the foundation. So you might say, well, Glenda, in me, what is the foundation? What is it? Well, I've got an interesting, maybe you could call it a homework assignment, something to do in the next few weeks or between now and next week. Just think about it for yourself. Let's think about the difference between your personality and your character. What I find for myself and other people I've known is that your personality shines the brightest when times are good, things are moving along happily. Happiness brings out your personality. Challenges and hard times and tough times bring out your character. Now, your character is your foundation. Think about that just as a, let's just put those two things together, personality and character. Which one is going to see you through the hard times? Which one is likely to be the bringer of the bright idea? Your personality. It's going to come from your personality. You know, whenever I think of a new work of art or a new book I want to write, it's always when I'm happy and feeling a glow, and it reflects my personality. But if I could not survive the moments when that creativity begins to be challenged, it could be challenged by all kinds of things. I could just become discouraged with, maybe I can't do this. I could tell myself things like, oh, gee, I think I bit off more than I can chew, or nobody's going to want this, or where in the world did I come up with this idea, or I'll never be able to finance it, or, oh, the list goes on and on and on. Or in the middle of painting or writing, I get sick, or somebody else, something happens in my family, or we run into other financial challenges, or I got to buy a new roof, and now I can't direct money toward the project, and the list goes on and on and on. How do you bring yourself back? How do you determine what your commitment is? That comes from your character, not from your personality. So everything you do has to be a blend of your personality and your character. Your character is the soil in which it grows that will nurture the seed and allow it to grow. That's the fertile ground if your character can't support it. This is kind of like if you do something that you're not real proud of, your character's, you're not real proud of it, but you were feeling kind of good that day. And you did something kind of, well, maybe you told a bad joke or you did something a little selfish, but you enjoyed it because somebody at work had been doing selfish things for you and it felt good to get even, you know, that sort of thing. And you get an opportunity to do something at work because you took the opportunity away from somebody else, but it felt good. You know, just a human thing. You know what? Your character's not going to support it. You think it's a good thing, but your character's not going to support it. You fudge on the budget just to get something you really, really, really want because you say, you know, I've been sacrificing all the things I've wanted for months and months and months because I couldn't afford it. I'm going to fudge on the budget right now. I'm going to go get this thing I want. You get it? That's the very dress you never wear, or guys, the very fishing pole you never go fishing with. You know, your character doesn't support it. The ground isn't there. The answer is to hold on to all these things you want. Keep them on your list. Keep wanting them, yes, but work through your character. Find how your character can actually support these delightful things that you want. Your personality and your character have to work together. So now, let's take that and translate it into the blessings of God. The blessings you will be receiving today and have been receiving every day of your life. You've been receiving blessings every day of your life. You may not know it, but you were dished out buckets and buckets of talents when you were born. Most of them you've never used. And the reason you don't use them is because you haven't yet found a context in which they apply. Something you could, like, well, you've got this particular talent, but you say, well, okay, but what do I do with it? You know? So who would want that? You explain away all your talents and you do nothing with them. You don't find the context in which they belong. Well, God just gives the talents. It's up to you to do something with them. Yeshua made teachings after teachings about that in the New Testament. About, well, it's up to you to do something with these talents. And some of them may seem ridiculous. But my Lord, my heavens, everybody, who would have ever thought you could make $1 million with a pet rock? Or a hula hoop? Or any other ridiculous thing that you could ever imagine? God just gives the talents. It's up to you to anchor them. God gives you blessings every day. Are you anchoring them? Are you creating the fertile ground in which these blessings will take root? God is going to give you blessings today for a healthier life, a more complete and whole life. But are you going to keep eating junk food? Keep denying yourself sleep? Keep engaging in stress and negative thoughts and self-denial, self-deprecation? Are you going to keep being mad at people who actually could support you and you think you're punishing them by not working with them when you're really punishing yourself? God gives you lessons. Are you going to learn from them? What good is a lesson if you don't learn from it? I used to be a teacher at the university level. I taught at Tulane University. I taught at the University of Oklahoma. It didn't matter what I taught. Actually, that was kind of not a real slip of tongue because my students really were my teachers about life. But the fact is, if a student was sitting on the front row counting the tiles in the ceiling, it didn't matter what I taught. They weren't going to learn it. And they would teach me to be a better teacher. I would really work hard to meet them halfway. I would work even harder to meet them three-quarters of the way. I took the OU football team out to the quadrangle with a football and let them show me different plays, and I would connect those plays to what artists do inside of compositions. I really, really work hard to take my lessons into a context that would be fertile ground for them. And you know what? Everybody on that football team, well, they didn't make A's, but they all legitimately passed. That was what I knew I was going to have to pass them. There was absolutely, I knew I would get a visit or a call in the night from the head coach because they were national champions and I had key players sitting there on the back. Well, they sat on the back row of the class there. That way they could count chairs as well as tiles in the ceiling. But I knew I'd get that call and I didn't want to fudge. I wanted them to earn that grade and they did. So what does God have to do to get you to create the fertile soil for the blessings you're being given? It's a big question that only you can answer. And I know some of you are thinking, well, you know, if these blessings are really coming from God, God can just make me well instantly. God can just make me rich instantly. God can heal my relationship instantly. Did you ever read the scripture about it's not wise to test God? It's up to you to have faith. Faith is your job. This was what the whole book of Job was about. If you have any questions of faith, take that book and read it. It's actually a beautifully written book. It's one of the finest pieces of poetic literature in the entire Old Testament. It would stand alone as a piece of literature, totally aside from its place inside of Scripture. And it's all about a man who had all the blessings of God, and he took them all for granted. And the dark light, the dark side came to God and said to God one day, if you didn't do it all for Job, Job would just lose faith in you. He wouldn't make up for the difference. I'm kind of parodying the words, but I want it to fit into what I just told you. And what I'm telling you is just said a little differently. Okay? If you didn't do it all, Job would lose faith in you. And God said no. He wouldn't. Well, initially, Job didn't know how to go about having faith. He tried to go to the temple and pray, but his prayers were hollow. He tried giving charity, but his charity didn't mean much. It was kind of hollow also. Oh, he prayed to give his whole life to God. But it was, again, a hollow gift. He suffered with illness, and his family suffered with illness, and he was abandoned, and he was outcast, and he suffered, in so many ways. And then finally, at the very end, he looked up at the stars, and he looked at the earth, and he said to God, "If I only have you, I have everything." That's all God needed. Because, my friends, that is the fertile ground. That's the ground in which everything grows. In which wealth grows, health grows, friends grow, community grows. All of the worldly desires you have grow in that fertile ground. And that's the anatomy of faith. So, in that moment, Job recovered his character, and then everything was restored back to him, and Job continued and returned back to being the generous, charitable, happy, prosperous man of the community, which was his personality. He had both character and personality. No longer was he a man without a foundation. The foundation was there, and he was appropriately seated in life for receiving all the blessings of God. So wherever you are in your life, sit today in your foundation and with your feet on the earth, both literally and figuratively, appreciate everything about your foundation, the earth from which you spring, everything the earth gives you, even in its troubled moments, it still is the mother that gave you life. It is the foundation on which you stand. Unite with it and allow it to draw to you all of the energies of the heavens, which will then pour through you. The Holy Spirit will pour through you, adapting all of the cosmic and worldly and earthly energy into that which you most need for your healing, your prosperity, healing relationships. Allow it to pour through you and find all the areas of your need. Find Yeshua, Jesus, the Lord of life in your heart. Be with him and allow him to light the candle of your heart that it may shine out to the world, giving your light to the world and you to be the light of the world that you can be and that you are. Let's begin. You be seated. The blessing givers, please join me. I will say an invocation to Yeshua. We will conduct the blessing. And when it is finished, all of you go and rest, lie down, and assimilate all that's been given to you. Allow the earth to support you and provide this magnetic attraction that draws energy into every part of your body and being. Rest in your faith. Rest in your the foundation, the essence of your being. Dear Yeshua, we thank you that you walked among us and gave to us restoration of faith and demonstration through your life, your miracles, your teaching, and your resurrection, the very power of faith and the power of any human being to be restored to its wholeness in God the Father, God the Creator. Thank you that in your physical departure, you still remain with us spiritually, and you have given to us the powerful, healing, and amazing presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for all your gifts, and in particular, those gifts you are about to give us at this moment. We ask that you be in us, with us, and give us the grace to be in you, that we may receive more fully all that you have to offer. Amen. blessing is complete. Now go and rest. Assimilate. Receive. Absorb. And enjoy the rich blessings of the Holy Spirit. Bye-bye for now.